This is Matthew Kruse with the Comstock Report. There's an old adage that a market that doesn't fall on bearish news is one that has a lot more working for it than against it. Last Friday's bullish hogs and pigs report would certainly qualify as bearish news for corn, and yet corn futures posted double-digit gains. We noted in yesterday's weekly basis update that for the first time in 7 straight weeks, corn basis among the cities we track actually improved from the prior week, even though harvest is gaining momentum. Speaking of harvest progress, yesterday's weekly crop progress reports still show crop condition ratings, but they were unchanged from a week ago for both corn and soybeans, and somewhat a moot point this late in the season with harvest upon us. Yesterday's corn report showed corn harvest 18% complete, up 8% from last week, and 3 points ahead of the 5-year average. Among the 18 states that account for 94% of the crop, 2 are already past the halfway point. So what else is going on for corn to account for yesterday's surge? 2 things. First, soaring energy prices have made ethanol quite attractive to blenders again. All the rumors that EPA is going to scale back RFS standards are yet to be confirmed, but fade into the background if blending ethanol makes sense for refiners, whether required to blend or not. The other thing even DTN talked about in closing comments yesterday were widening reports of corn yields falling short of expectations, mostly on evidence that either drought stress sped up maturation in the West or disease pressures from excessive moisture caused even good-looking fields to shut down early in parts of the East. Yesterday's export inspections certainly didn't hurt. While still well short of last year due to Gulf terminals not yet fully up to speed, traders have at least lowered expectations enough that yesterday's weekly loadings tally of over 500,000 tons was at the high end of pre-released estimates ranging from 300,000 to 575,000, and there were rumors circulating that China was looking for U.S. corn on the same day they made a flash purchase of 334,000 tons of soybeans. Premiums to U.S. Gulf prices for Brazilian beans and meal are soaring as domestic bidders choke off their export competitiveness, and we anticipate a pattern of aggressive U.S. soybean sales now through harvest. As in corn, yesterday's weekly export inspections report was far behind a year ago when Gulf terminals were loading full tilt. What's important in terms of trade reactions, where they come relative to scaled back expectations? There are reports that nearly 24 Chinese crush plants have been temporarily closed or working only partial hours due to energy rationing. However, it hasn't slowed soybean purchases or weakened prices. Soybeans at the Dalian Exchange are still near season's highs of almost $20, according to DTN. In fact, if crusher slowdowns cause a problem for meal users, we could actually see China buying U.S. meal, which is really bargain priced. Turning next to harvest progress for beans, yesterday's report showed it at 16%, 10 points up from last week, and 3% faster than average the past 5 years. Only 2 states are past the halfway point, Arkansas at 66% and Louisiana at 54%. The August update on China's Phase 1 purchase commitments isn't very encouraging. They already dug a hole coming in well short of their 2020 commitments, using COVID crisis as their excuse. Ag Secretary Vilsack just last week commented that he felt the existing agreement gives them too big a loophole by a vague item in the agreement that says their commitments are contingent on market conditions. Now the data shows them at only 66.4% of where they should be on track to meet their 2021 goals. At least year-to-date purchases of 2021 show them at only 66% of their target purchases through August and only 44% of their full-year target, with the year now 66% behind us. Their purchase commitments are divided across 3 sectors: agriculture, energy, and manufacturing. They're well behind where they should be in the other 2 sectors as well, particularly energy, where their purchases are less than a third of where they should be by now. It's possibly too soon to write off any hope of them catching up on the ag side. However, as prices for beans and beef are considerably higher than year-ago prices, they've still been good buyers in those 2 areas. You are listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us online at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.